Welcome back to Real Insight Keen, Insights for the Semi-Observant. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 115, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. So, for this week's episode, I've recently had a chance to finally watch the, I believe, fourth movie in the Pirates of the Caribbean series, and just to see how it was in regards to the other films. I heard odd reviews in that it wasn't that good, but then people said it was done very well. So I wanted to see for myself what it was all about and exactly whether or not it was as good as people said it was, or as bad as Rotten Tomatoes says it was. So with that, I'll jump right into it. Not too many insights, but I will go jump right into it. So the movie released in the United States on May 20th, 2011. With the summary, Jack Sparrow and Barbossa embark on a quest to find the elusive Fountain of Youth, only to discover that Blackbeard and his daughter are after it too. So, pretty straightforward summary, nothing too crazy or over the top compared to the other movies, I guess. Well, I guess a little bit more over the top as far as the Fountain of Youth goes, but to me it's one of those premises that could go either way, along the lines of time travel, where it can be done, it's basically a black or white issue where it can be done right or it can be done wrong. So I didn't really go into it with too much expectation, so that's probably why I gave it the score I did, but we'll see. So I'll have a link, as always, to the IMDb and Wikipedia articles. On Rotten Tomatoes, though, it received a Rotten Tomatoes score of 33%, so not very good at all. I think all the other three movies, at least the first one did very well, and it was basically downhill, I guess, from there with the remaining movies. If my memory serves, I think the sequels all did worse than the original. But don't quote me on that. I think the sequels for me were kind of indifferent, but in general they were all better than this movie. So with that, I'll jump into the inside and then do my usual summary and breakdown of what I thought of the movie itself. So to start it off, I figured when we were looking at the back of Blackbeard's ship, why does a ship need a rear view lamp? So I don't know why this caught my eye and why it bothered me so much, but when I was watching, or when they were doing a rear view shot of Blackbeard's ship, there was a lamp or lantern on the back of the ship, and I was wondering why they actually had one there and who gets to go back there to refill the fuel or the gas or whatever they use to fill it up. But why would they want a lantern on the back of their ship? To me that seems like it would be a giveaway if someone was chasing them, especially at night, that okay, well, here there's a ship and that's exactly how far ahead of, or not, probably not exactly, but that's how far ahead of us they are. To me it seems like I would not want a lantern on the back or a light on the back of my ship, because I don't want whoever's following me to know where I am, especially at night, and if I want to escape. And then the other thing is, a ship doesn't exactly go in reverse, so having a lamp on the back doesn't seem to make too much sense. Unless there's probably some weird way of, or like they want to make sure no one's sneaking up on the captain's cabin or something like that. But to me, it didn't really make much sense as to why it was there. It seemed like a dead giveaway. If I'm chasing the ship, well, there's a light, so that's pretty much where they are, and I know where that ship is as far as direction and location ahead of me. Next up, though, and when we're on our way to the Fountain of Youth, we get to the mermaid scene, and it taught me that one does not mess with sea scorpions, because this scene I actually thought was done pretty well. We get to the point where they need to get a mermaid's tear, and actually at night the mermaids turn into these weird sea scorpion-looking things that attack people, or people who shouldn't be there, something along those lines. And it pretty much leaves nothing to be desired as far as wanting to mess with them. Either be so far on shore that they can't get to you, or don't go there. So it was actually Overall, very well done as far as bringing up that particular other side to the mermaid. So definitely a scene worth checking out, and definitely a plus for this movie. And finally, why isn't a human tetherball a thing? So when we're at the Fountain of Youth, we have Jack Sparrow doing his usual acrobatics and swinging around and escaping and causing mayhem and trying to do what he wants to do. And I got to thinking that in all of these movies, I don't know if this is actually a thing or not, but being a human tetherball or one of those things where it was more than just bungee jumping or base jumping or something like that, but even a singular propel means of flying around a pole, I guess, as a even a amusement park ride as being a thing. So just a different take on, I guess, bungee jumping, but it seemed like something that may be fun or more of a singular event rather than something that requires a tram or a train of people or maybe just having a different variation on a bungee cord or bungee jumping. So that's really all there is for that. So I gave, or I summarized Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides as the game of ships and cloth. Because essentially this is one of those movies where, since it's in that era of ships being the primary transportation in general, that it requires everyone to, or if you want to travel anywhere pretty much, it requires a boat, and that is the only way to actually travel anywhere. So if you have a boat, then you can get there, and if you and I guess it also depends on what you're wearing. It was kind of a awkward situation where as long as you're a good trader, I think it seems like it's one of those situations where you can get anywhere in the Pirates of the Caribbean world, anywhere else. Or if you don't have anything you're able to trade with, then you're not going to get what you want. So be sure to have something of value. So I gave the movie a real score of a 75%. Overall, it was a really, really... it wasn't a good movie and it wasn't a bad movie. Mainly because the positive, I thought, as I mentioned earlier, aside from the mermaid scene, was the callback to when they closed out the movie to Jack, the island that Jack was stranded on initially and escaped from. So you may have to think back a little bit, but I like that particular scene. That was a good way to cap out this movie. And then I left it at that point where it can't, now we know that they are working on another sequel. I think Dead Men Tell No Tales, if memory serves. But it was pretty good at being ambiguous as to leaving it open for another sequel or not doing another sequel. It's pretty much the end. It could be considered the end of the Jack storyline, but also leave it open for more. And then the negative that actually kind of took me out of the movie was by the time I finished watching it, the story paralleled the original a little bit too much. So I guess because the original storyline had been rounded out by the time the third, or by the time At World's End was done, they needed another story, so they took it back to the roots of Curse of the Black Pearl. So I was kind of indifferent to the movie that it didn't, while it brought the Fountain of Youth angle to starting off the new storyline, to me it didn't seem like it was really setting up to have too many more sequels or even another set of another trilogy of movies, which is something I may have preferred. But on its own, it was a good enough movie. It had a few familiar characters and had a good enough plot line, and it was the usual antics, so it wasn't anything new, but it was also done well enough to the point of being enjoyable as well. So that's really all there is for this particular episode. There wasn't really much to say about it. If you've seen the movies or the original Pirates of the Caribbean movies or the trilogies, then don't expect too many new things, but it is also worth seeing. If you see this before the original three, you're not going to miss a whole lot. They don't really, aside from the callback to the initial island, that's probably the only thing that's not going to make a whole lot of sense if you haven't seen the first movie, so you're not missing too much. You can start with this one and even do the first three if you want as well. But that is all for this particular episode. As far as the schedule for the rest of December, next week I'll be watching over the next week or so the pilot to the Librarians TV show. In case you're wondering, it's actually, from my understanding, the TV series based on the movies, The Librarian, the one with Noah Wiley, the star of Falling Skies, if you're not sure, or Pirates of Silicon Valley. So I'll check that out. I actually just happened to see it in the my TV guide by happenstance. I thought I'd check it out. So that's the plan for next week. The week after that, I'm actually planning on watching THX-1138, George Lucas's directorial debut film. It's actually my first time watching it. I figure it's finally time I should actually check that out, see what it's all about. And I mean, I've read the novel and all that, so I know what it's about, but I mean, actually watch the film itself. So that's the plan for the week after that. And then as far as the last couple of weeks of December, so from the 22nd, I believe, on, and for the rest of the month, I'm actually going to be taking that time off from podcasting. So if you don't see any episodes, that's actually why. So I'll put a reminder up on my Twitter feed just to right around that time, so everyone, so you know that that's why there's no episodes, and that's for all my shows as well, but just as a heads up there. But in any case, or in the meantime, you can always, if you have any questions, comments, insights of your own, or anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all of my latest updates and interact with me there as well. And of course, if you want to check out the Real Insights Year 1 and 2 ebooks, they're in their own ebook, so you don't have to get the whole thing if you don't want. They're individually available. You can visit at author.patelN01.com. You can, of course, support us if you like this show and all the shows on the Geek IO Network, and if you want to help support the network as far as supporting the shows currently available, as well as expanding the network with more shows and all of that good stuff, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/geekio. And of course, if you're watching on Stranger Tides or any movie, TV show, listening to podcasts, music, whatever, then be sure to check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have 7 gray styles and 7 gray colors, so they'll have the look that matches your needs. And all of their headphones are noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world. So be sure to visit geek-io.net/tweaked and use the promo code GEEK at checkout. So you also get 1/3 off your order when you use the promo code, and that also helps support the Real Insight and the Geek IO network of shows. So that's geek-io.net/tweet and the promo code GEEK. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. And in case you're wondering, or as a slight update from last week, if you want to find this show and more shows on the Geek IO Network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. It's no longer .com. We actually recently just switched domains, so a quick heads up there in case you're visiting .com. That's the update there. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.